Hello and welcome to the Covert Nerd Podcast. Thank you for listening. It means a lot to me that you take the time out of your day to hear what I have to say. Today's another great Choose Your Own Adventure live event, and you can go to covertnerd.net and find the links to the Facebook page and the Twitter page that we do this on. So we do this on Facebook Live and Periscope, and you can participate too. We do it usually every other week, but simply go to covertnerd.net for all the different links to this episode and previous episodes. You can subscribe on pretty much any device that you have that's out there. So please subscribe. That way you can get the latest episode. So without further ado, let's dive right in and nerd it up with Eddie and another Choose Your Own Adventure Live. We're doing a Tibetan theme today. So the first one is the Choose Your Own Adventure book by Richard Brightfield.
Ooh, what kind of field?
Very British. Brightfield. So dim. Oh, yeah.
Eddie's
got the light. And it is The Secret Treasure of Tibet. I had this one, and I probably would rank this one either number one or number two.
Now, this to me I'm with you. This to me ranks as one of the top covers.
Yes.
Of the Choose Your Own Adventure book, not because of the cool Tibetan like monk head statue in the middle. That's awesome all of it on its own. But you got these cool like panel style art showing like different situations you could find yourself during your Choose Your Own Adventure.
Paul Granger. He does some of the best. Pretty much all the ones we've done, Paul Granger does the art for.
Yeah,
he's just iconic with these. But yeah, you can look at the cover and already get an idea of what's going to happen in the story.
Yeah,
you're getting shot at from a helicopter. Ooh. You find a room full of treasure.
I mean,
you're
please.
Levitating, and then you find the Shangri-La or whatever big monastery on top of the mountain.
So is it Shangri-La or Shambhala?
Shangri-La is how I pronounce it.
Shambhala is another city, and it might be a different whole city, but it's also a sweet song from Three Dog Night.
Oh, there you go.
So look that one up, kids.
Exactly. So let's go ahead and dive right in. Look at the. You can follow along. You can go to archive.org. You can look these up, and you can follow along with us if you want.
Now, before we go into this adventure, Lee, should we quick break it down for the kids at home who maybe their first their first journey with us down this Choose Your Own Adventure?
Yeah. So if this is your first time, what we do is we bring up an old Choose Your Own Adventure book. We'll read through it just like you would when you were a kid or do it now. And when we get to a decision point in the book, we leave it up to you and you can go in the chat room and tell us. Do we go to page 8 and open the door, for example, or do we go to page 56 and go in the basement? You decide what we do.
You get to help choose your own adventure. I mean, in this pandemic insanity that we're living through right now, how many times have you felt powerless on what's happening? Now, tonight, you get to steer the events. Take control. Screw you, fate. Tonight, we're going to find creative ways to kill ourselves.
Exactly. We're going to do it in the most outlandish ways possible, whether we are falling off a cliff in the Himalayas or jumping on a mammoth and if that's on fire, which we need to do.
That's the best way to die. We know that's the best way to die.
We need Al Garrison to draw Lee and Eddie on a mammoth going over a cliff. Maybe on fire too or not?
Listen, you draw, always on fire.
Always on fire.
All the artists watching this right now, you need to draw a picture of me and Lee Searcy riding a mammoth off of a cliff on fire. and we will promote you and pay you and love you forever.
We'll give you Eddie bucks. Eddie bucks. They're very valuable.
1 million Eddie bucks.
Cruiser creds.
Cruiser creds. Cruiser coin.
Cruiser coin.
So, real quick, also, please, anyone like, comment, please, and share this episode of Choose Your Own Adventure through Covert Nerd Podcast. This is some of the most fun I think I've had during this pandemic.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Thanks for doing it, Eddie.
It's literally my pleasure, and I'm sorry I make us late, but such is life.
Okay. That's okay.
Es la vida, as they say.
Everybody gets 10 extra cruiser coins, and they have zero value. But
they have zero value except for specific moments in time.
Yes, yes. All right. So I've got to page one here, so you can, everybody, the viewers, can check it out. And if you're listening to this later, we're on page one. Got a nice little map here of China, ooh, Mongolia, Tibet, India. Ooh. Has the very...
Whoa. Yes. Whoa. I'm setting the background. You keep going.
Yeah. Okay. And so we're going to start with page one. And we are going to see what happens. I always love these intros because Edward Packer just lays out the whole thing in one simple page. And you know exactly what's going to happen. So I'll go ahead and start, Eddie. And then if you want to take the next decision.
You up, baby. You got this.
You have just finished a correspondence course on how to be a private investigator. Wait a second.
Correspondence.
We did this last time.
Man, we got all of our education through the mail.
Because to catch the listener viewer up, when we were being a detective in Who Killed Harlow Thrombey, we had just completed a correspondence course. So is this the same one? Is this a different one?
I'm willing to bet you that the author got his degree through a correspondence course.
That could be. Okay. So anyway, we finished our private correspondence course to be a private investigator. While you're at home one day wondering what your first case will be, there's a soft knock at your front door. When you open it, you see an old man standing there. Can I help you, you ask? May I come in? He says, there's something I must ask you. You help the old man to a chair, and he sits down with a heavy sigh. My name is Bertram Buckingham.
I swear to God.
I love it. Is that like Peter Parker or Scott Summers or
Clark Kent?
Clark Kent. Yeah, they're always, yeah. Anyway. No. He begins, I got your name from the referral service of your correspondence school. I have a job for you, one that will send you on an adventure beyond your wildest dreams. Ooh. And all expense paid, I might add. I haven't had much experience yet, you say, and that's perfect, Mr. Buckingham interrupts.
I haven't had much experience. I just finished my correspondence course. The degree is still warm. It's still warm from the printer. The ink isn't dry yet.
It isn't even dry and you're starting. Oh man. I need someone with a young, fresh mind. Sounds interesting. Tell me a little bit about the case, you say, pulling a chair over next to Mr. Buckingham. All right. So we've got a nice illustration here. Look at that guy, Mr. Buckingham. He looks like the guy from The Mummy.
Mr. Buckingham looks to be about 1,000 years old, and we look like we're 12.
That looks like, actually, some mornings I look like that.
Oh, that's how I feel today, for sure.
All right. It all goes back many, many years to 1942, to be exact, during the Second World War, he says. I was in the British Army then, stationed in northern India. I was put in charge of two Germans. They weren't Nazis, but they were holding them until the end of the war. One night, they escaped and headed north toward the Himalayas. Since they were my charges, I followed them all the way through Nepal and into Tibet. I lost their trail in a blinding snowstorm, but stumbled into the valley called Sing Ling La. In the midst of the snow-covered mountains, it was an almost tropical oasis. Plants and flowers were everywhere. In the center of it was the perfect jewel of a monastery. There I saw an amazing sight. One that has haunted me ever since. Dun, dun, dun. Now we got to turn to page 10. Quick note, he says Sing Ling La. The reason he had to do that is because the term Shangri-La, I believe, is copywritten. You can't use it because it was in a book from 1932.
How do you copyright a place?
Well, it's a fake place. It's not. It doesn't exist. It was made up. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. It was made up in the book called The Lost Horizon. by James Hilton. That's where the term Shangri-La came from.
Really? Anyway. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's not a real, it was made up by a British author. So that's probably why they couldn't use Sing Ling La. They used Sing Ling La instead of Shangri-La. So
I see.
Going to page 10. Well, I didn't realize the beginning is so long, but anyway. What did you see? You asked Mr. Buckingham. The monks there could levitate themselves. You know, rise up off the ground and stay there, he answers. I saw it. They even tried to teach me how to levitate. But I still hadn't found the German, so I had to continue my search. But what's this got to do with today, you ask? I've told this story many times, particularly at my club. Hubert Crossley, another member and a millionaire, has often teased me about it. Buckingham hesitates, looking uncomfortable. A month ago, in a weak moment, I bet my entire fortune against his. If by this time next year I can't scientifically prove that levitation is possible, then everything I own becomes his, and he has it in writing. Something tells me your first case isn't going to be easy. Where do I come in, you ask? So we've got to go to page 76. Do you want to tackle this one, Eddie?
So here we go. Buckingham suddenly looks hopeful. You have to go to Tibet, find the valley of Sing Ling La, and either learn how to levitate yourself or bring back someone who can. I drew a map of Sing Ling La's location that I will give you if you agree to go. Why go all the way to Tibet, you ask? I've read about spiritual groups. You and this whole, like, learning things through the mail and books. Yeah. Like, go out and do something.
Correspondence course. Come on.
Live some life, you.
Do something with your life.
I've read about spiritual groups here in the city who say that they practice levitation. They say they can levitate, replies Buckingham grimly, but they all fail in front of Crossley's scientific panel. Then why, by the way, Crossley's scientific panel is the only scientific panel who's approved the Covert Nerd podcast. Then why don't you go to Tibet, you ask? No, no, I'm old and tired, like Lee and Eddie. I'd never make it. That's why I need you. Still, it would save a lot of trouble if we could find someone closer to home, you offer. Well, give it a try if you want. Perhaps this will help. Buckingham hands you a newspaper clipping dated a few days earlier. There's a photo of a woman over a short article. Sylvia Morrison, the noted anthropologist, has just returned from a trip to India and the Himalayas, where she has been studying the phenomena of mental telepathy and levitation. Nice. If you will come to my house tomorrow, says Mr. Buckingham, I'll give you the map and a check to cover your expenses. Booyaka!
Yes, I'm in.
Money. Dude. By the way, you might see a Mr. Snide. It sounds like Mr. Snide might not be a nice guy.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. How'd you guess?
At the Museum of Natural History. He's the curator of the Tibetan collection. You shake hands with Mr. Buckingham and show him to the door. I'm counting on you to help me, he says. That was your first mistake, you reply. I'm kidding. That was a joke. That was me. Here we go. If you decide to call Sylvia Morrison first, turn to page 5. If you decide to go to the museum first, where you'll inevitably have to deal with a guy named Mr. Snide.
Snide, yes.
Turn to page 68. So there you go.
So we have two choices. So if you're listening, watching, what are we going to do? We can go. Don't you love the name? So we have Buckingham, Crossley, and Snide. And Morrison.
And Morrison.
Yeah.
Which probably was taken straight from the Doors because the author was running out of
names. Running out of names and just happened to see it. I need a name. Oh, look at my record collection. Morrison.
So per the rules of the Covert Nerd Podcast, Choose Your Own Adventure, you, the viewer, not reader, you, the viewer, need to choose Carolyn Daly. Oh, look at Carolyn. Oh. Hey, lady. Look at her watching.
So we're going to 68, Carolyn, unless we get somebody else to snide.
Carolyn Daly is my favorite Carolyn, just so you know. Fun fact.
She wants to go see Snide, so I guess we're going to see Snide.
She would pick Snide. We're gonna go see Snide. Page 68. Is that you, Mr. Searcy?
Yes, that's me.
All right.
Oh, Kim said Mr. Snide too. Boy.
Oh,
we're gonna be seeing Mr. Snide.
I got a bad feeling about this.
All right. Oh yeah, I love it. So the picture is a guy that's like really scary looking. He's, I don't know what the deal is with his eyes. And then he's got all this Tibetan stuff in the background.
He's either rocking a sweet soul patch or a a strange facial piercing that would predate the 1970s or 80s. So anyway, yes.
Anyway,
Mr. Snide,
inside the museum, you check at the information desk. The third floor seems deserted. You enter the large room that houses the Tibetan collection. Its walls are covered with long scrolls that depict ferocious demons of the Tibetan mythology. Life-size statues of meditating Buddhas sit in the center of the room. Then you notice a small, bespectacled man, the curator, no doubt, hunched over his desk, way off to the side. "Are you Mr. Snide?" you ask as you approach him. "Yes, I am," he answers. He notices that you are looking at the strange book in his hands. "This is a Tibetan book," he says. "The Tibetan script is printed on long sheets of paper, which when not being read, are kept between thick blocks of wood. This particular one is the Tibetan Book of the Dead. It tells you how to come back for your next incarnation, how to be reborn." "You mean how to come back as an ant or something?" you ask. "Humph," Snide exclaims.
Snidely.
"It's nothing." Yeah, Snidely. "It's nothing to make fun of. And if..." "I'm sorry," you say, holding up your hand. "I'm really here for information." "What is it you'd like to know?" Snide asks. "Well, two things. The first is about levitation." A faint smile crosses Snide's face. "The second is whether you've ever heard of a place called Sing Ling La." This time, Snide looks thunderstruck. Ooh.
Wow. Play some AC/DC right now.
Yeah, no kidding. Go to page 37.
Ooh, is this me then? Oh, no, it's not me.
It's still before the next decision, but Snide sits there for a moment, his mouth hanging open. "No, I can't help you," he says abruptly. "Can you see I'm busy here?" You certainly are surprised by his sudden change of tone. "Well, please think it over," you say, "and just in case, here's my phone number." "All right, leave your number," Snide says. "Now, if you don't leave, I'll have to summon a guard and have you escorted from the museum."
Summon? Jeez. What are you, magician, bro? What's going on here?
This escalated quickly.
Yeah, well, he is pretty snide.
That's true.
Just saying.
"You know about Sing Ling La, don't you?" You say, this is a wild guess on your part. You have no idea why Sing Ling La should be so important. So the monks can levitate themselves. So what? It might make a first-rate circus act, but why should anyone except Buckingham and Crossley care? Could Snide know about the bet? And if he does, why is he so upset about it? Snide doesn't answer, but you can see that he is shaking. Also, his hand is moving to a button on the side of his desk. Okay, I'm going," you say, putting your hand up in mock surrender. You take one look back, and as you go down the hall, you can see Snide through the door, his eyes blazing. But with what? Anger or fear?
Ooh. He's also giving you the finger.
Yeah, probably. No, that's the your number one. All right, we got to go to page 86. We're really bouncing around on this
one. Hopscotch on this one.
He's a boss. # don't quote me.
I think we just did.
I think, yeah. Sorry, Kim. We quoted you.
Oops.
You leave the museum and glance at your watch. It's nearly closing time. Perhaps you should wait and see where Snide goes after work. You slip behind a tree across the street from the museum. You watch all the museum personnel, all that is except Snide. Now, most of the lights are out in the museum. You wait a while longer until you start to feel a bit foolish. You realize that the curator could have easily gone out the back door. You're just about to give up when the museum door opens and someone comes out. Even at this distance, you can tell it's Snide.
By a snideliness.
Snide remark, snide face. He looks around as if he thinks he's being watched and then hurries down the street. Just to be safe, you stay well behind him. You trail Snide for about a mile.
Then he stops suddenly and is joined by another man. You're too far away to see very much, but it looks as if they're exchanging something. The other man hurries away in a different direction. There's something about the new man that makes you want to follow him. Either of them might lead you to the answers of the question of why Snide was so upset by mentioning Sing Ling La. You have to make a decision, quickly. All right. Do you follow Snide or do you follow the other man?
If you follow Snide, do you know what that's called?
Snide hunting?
It's called the electric Snide.
Oh.
Just saying.
I was thinking Snide hunting instead of snipe hunting.
Snipe hunting. That's good. I'll give it. I'll allow it.
Oh, the electric snipe, though. That's good.
Electric.
So, yeah, do we follow Snide or do we follow the other creepy guy?
So, yeah, 75 for Snide. Or if you decide to follow the other guy, I have a feeling the Snide crowd's going to weigh in on this one. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
We never know.
Snide obsessed.
It took a while to get this one, or this took a lot of building. I kind of forgot about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Usually it's around.
Usually it's just two pages, make a decision, read a page, make a decision. But this one took, what, 6-7 pages to finally get us to a decent point.
If he falls down on a banana peel, it's called the slip and snide. Just so.
Oh, there's Garrett Kim, the electric snide. Yep.
There it is. The electric snide.
The slip and snide. Oh, man. I can just see, you know how the cover on the regular slip and slide, you have the kids sliding down it.
It's a snide.
And he's full suit and glasses.
His glasses are all askew, and he's just like, his tie's all flying up. Slip and snide. He's coming down the stairs. One of his shoes is flying off.
Uh-oh. We have a dilemma.
We have a split between creepy other dude and Snide.
Which is creepy too, ooh. So.
Now we know what we do here on Covert Nerd. On the rare occasion when we come across a split, it's between Lee or me to flip a coin, flip a something, and decide what we're going to do. So I don't have a coin handy, believe it or not. Let me see here.
You know, in the day of the virtual, we can do the virtual coin.
There you go. I'm going to do a virtual coin toss.
This is a cruiser coin.
Oh, we should make a cruiser coin.
We should make a cruiser coin, actually. Kim.
Yeah.
We get on that.
We're already tipping our hand on the rename, by the way. We're calling it all cruiser.
What do you want? Do you want heads or tails, Eddie?
I say heads is snide and creepy other dude is tails.
Okay.
Won't you follow with me? Let me take you on a magic carpet snide. And I will teach
tails
you.
Tails it is.
Ooh, creepy other dude.
Creepy other dude. Creepy Page other 19. Dude.
This is on me, I think, now, right?
Yep.
Oh, Lord. This is classic. Here we go. You follow the man who met Snide, creepy other dude. He moves rapidly down the street away from you. You sprint after him, trying to keep to the shadows as much as possible. Then the man seems to vanish, as if by magic.
Boom.
Cautiously, you walk up to where he disappeared. Suddenly, you hear a footstep behind you. You turn, but not fast enough.
Uh-oh.
Good luck, correspondence course boy. Your reflexes are good. Something very heavy hits you on the back of the head. Man, we get biffed on the head quite a bit. Turn to page 13.
You're right. Here we go. We got hit in the back of the head with a gun.
Gun hits. Whatever the heavy thing was in this case. 13.
There we go.
When you come to, you find yourself tied up in a dark room. Your head is still throbbing from the blow that knocked you out. For a few minutes, you just lie there, getting your thoughts together. What did your correspondence?
I love this. I forgot about that.
I'm sorry. I'm not knocking correspondence courses. I just think it's really, they're leaning into it so hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you took a sip of a frosty cold Pepsi. Oh, your frosty cold Pepsi kept you refreshed the whole time. You think back to the frosty cold Pepsi you had 2 days ago. What did your correspondence course say about freeing your hand when you're tied up? Why would that be a subject?
It is if you read a little further.
I love the rut row. What did your correspondence course say about freeing your hand when you're tied up? Now you remember, use a slow, this could be taken out of context, use a slow, steady pull with one hand. Fortunately, there is just enough play in the ropes to squeeze one hand out gradually. No, we're not reading 50 Shades of Grey. We're reading Choose Your Own Adventure.
Choose Your Own Adventure.
Finally, your right hand pulls free. You get your other hand loose and then untie your feet. You stand up shakily, rubbing the large bump on the back of your head. By now, your eyes are adjusted to the darkness. Your eyes are permanently destroyed by the blow. Far across the room, you see the faint lighted line of the edge of a large door. You walk toward it, stumbling into large crates a few times. You feel around for the doorknob and are relieved to find the door unlocked. Cautiously, you open the door a crack and peek out into a white, brightly lit hallway. No one is in sight, so you slip out into the hall. Nearby, to the left, the hallway rounds a corner. Far down at the other end, to the right, is a closed door that looks as if it might be an exit. There are a number of closed doors on either side of the hallway. If you decide to go to the right, turn to page 9. If you decide to go to the left and see what's around the corner, turn to page 101. It doesn't get any more pure than this, people, and choose your own adventure. Left or right? What do you want?
Got a bunch of doors. What are you going to choose?
Not the first time. Hashtag not the first time Eddie didn't listen to me.
Listen, Kim. We're not going to do this live. We're not going to get into this debate, discussion, airing grievances, if you will. I'm not going to do this right here. I love you
forever.
Okay,
Eddie. Now, tomorrow or sometime when you're at work or when your kids ask you something and you don't know, you just say, let me think about what I learned in my correspondence course.
Let me revisit my correspondence course on how to loosen ropes.
Kim Garrison says, go left.
We have Kim and Carolyn both agreeing to go left.
We do.
When in doubt, don't go right.
We're Beyonce. To the left, to the left.
All right. Here speaking in Espanol.
We're gonna go to 101.
101. This is on Mr. Lee Searcy.
Yes.
And I'm out of tea now. No tea in my cup.
Oh boy. We're done now. Did you learn how to make tea at your correspondence course?
I did. I looked up on how to dehydrate herbs and spices and make my own tea. And luckily it didn't end up in me being knocked out.
All right. Let's go. Okay, 101. As you turn the corner, you skid to a stop. 5 men are coming toward you. You try to jump back before you're seen, but you're not quick enough. You'll have to make a run for it. You tear down the hallway, but you are tackled just before you reach the end. You hit the ground with a thump and lose consciousness. Again, you're unconscious.
Boy. Can you lose what we never had?
Oh, here we go. Uh-oh. We got to go to page 99, and it doesn't look good.
Nope, here we go.
All right.
This is you.
Yep. When you awake, you find yourself in a large, elegant room. This must be some kind of mansion, you think. Still a little wobbly, you stand up and find yourself facing a sharp-featured middle-aged man.
Wait, so this... what did my correspondent say about a sharp-featured middle-aged man?
Oh, man. So this is your investigator, he says. Just what's this all about, you ask in a shaky voice. You want to know what this is all about? The man's voice is furious. Since you won't be leaving here for a while, if ever, I'll tell you exactly what you're meddling in. I'm Hubert Crossley. Now, if somebody told me I'm Hubert Crossley, I'd be like, you start laughing.
I'd be like, Hugh Cross.
I import, let's call it, that antique art treasures from the Orient. Just recently, I discovered the finest ones come from a place called Singling La, somewhere in Tibet. Yet, with all my resources, I couldn't find its exact location. Then I remembered that old fool Buckingham at the club. He was telling some wild levitation story set in a place called Singling La. He even said he had a map showing its location. First, I tried to buy the map from him. He wouldn't sell it. So I made that silly bet to smoke him out. Today, I thought Buckingham had given the map to you. My men searched you while you were unconscious. Apparently, you don't have it. Not that it would do you any good now. Crossley's men take you down the mansion's basement and lock you in a cell at the end of the long corridor. You'll be there for a long time, at least until Crossley gets enough money and treasure to satisfy him. That could take forever. The end.
What did my correspondence course say about being locked in a prison until I die?
Oh, man. I like Carolyn. Why are you so slow? The correspondence course didn't teach me how to run.
The correspondence course didn't cover any cardio.
Oh, man. That one, we didn't last very long. We got knocked out twice in about 5 minutes.
Two times. Even if we lived through this adventure, we lost a lot of ourselves in
this.
Yeah,
we're like, don't they know about concussions?
Don't you know how much damage you do with one concussion, let alone two, 5 minutes apart from each other?
I know. Kim's not happy.
Kim, this is choose your own adventure. This is how it goes. This is how a lot of our adventures first go. Lee, remember?
Yes.
You'd buy a brand new Choose Your Own Adventure. You'd be as excited as could be. You'd be like, look at this book. It's so cool. I'm so excited. And you read it for 3 minutes and you're like, I just died.
Yes.
Like, hold on. And you read it again. And then like 5 minutes later, you're like, I'm dead again. What's happening? This is part of the rite of passage.
It's part of the adventure.
Part of the adventure.
Do you want to go back and try another one? Try it again, or do we want to go to another book?
I'm going to make a co-host suggestion and say that we do come back to this book, but we come back the next episode.
Okay.
And that we do a part two, Return to the Himalayas.
Yes.
And that we do the Yeti concussed pedaling. Exactly.
They didn't teach us how to treat concussions in our correspondence course.
From the first concussion, every decision you made after that was completely compromised. You were like, do I pick pink elephant or the blue one? I don't even know
who I am anymore. It's like, was it in Christmas Vacation? She gets kicked by a mule. Her eyes go crossed. She falls down a well. They go straight. I don't know.
Exactly. That's basically Choose Your Own Adventure in a nutshell. Yeah. Yeah. Kim smashes front. Trust me, Kim, we feel your pain. We're right here. And then.
Yes, we understand. So let's go to the Abominable Snowman.
I was close, and, I guess.
Or the Yeti. Title. I mean, yeah, it's the same thing.
And a shameless plug here, if you will, if you like paranormal fun stuff, check out Paranormal Dad's podcast. Yes. Much like all the other shows I help produce, there's no new episodes yet, but
that's okay.
Quite a few out there to listen to, and there'll be some new stuff coming your way fairly soon. So
this one would be right up your alley.
Hell yeah, Will, man. I love this stuff. I live for this stuff. It's very fun. Even if it's not real, which, you know, I'm on the fence, I think it's super fun.
And here we have another map again of Tibet, India, and it gives you the mountains.
Real quick on the cover. Can you go back to the cover real quick?
Oh, yes. Let me go back here.
That is not reflective of most Choose Your Own Adventures. Look how happy they are. He's holding up a scroll like, we did it.
Yay!
We're not dead. We're not concussed.
I wonder if he took a correspondence course again in Yeti tracking.
Okay, who wrote this? Who wrote this? Please tell me the same guy.
R.A. Montgomery. So no, this is a different guy.
Bonus points if they mention a correspondence course in this. If they mention a correspondence course, I will smash this mug.
Eddie's going to mic drop. We're done.
if they mention that, I will throw something across the room.
Look at this. Carolyn says, I think I still have this one.
Carolyn, if you still have this one, please post a picture of it to the comments. I would love to see that. That'd be amazing.
That would be awesome. I mean,
don't dig it out now. Stay tuned in. But if you have it handy, you know, these books, man, I swear.
They're great.
They are imagination rocket fuel. They really are.
They are. Well, let's get started here. Let's dive
in, man. Yeah, like you said, starts off with a great map. Any good book.
How many hours, if you had, well, maybe not this one, Eddie, but other ones where you would just stare at this map?
Oh, Lord. I mean,
when you were a kid, when you're nine, eight.
Oh, God. I remember being a little older, maybe like 12, 13, reading the Dragonlance Chronicles. What's up, y'all? Look at Lee, seriously, with that deep nod. You know what I'm saying. Yep,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And just pouring over those maps, dude.
Oh,
oh,
so fun. Just
and then Lord of the Rings, same thing. You're just sitting there, just like,
same look at those thing.
Maps. Oh man, that river's cool. I mean, so you know, a good book. Heck, the Dragon Riders of Pern. Remember that sucker?
Oh yeah, yeah. They had the maps too.
Oh dude, yeah.
Anyway. So okay, here we are. Do you want to start this one, or you want me to?
You know what? Do you care if I kick this one off?
Go ahead.
My phone will catch up to me. I'm too fast for modern technology.
Oh, for anybody that just joined us, when we get to a decision point, then type your decision in the chat and we'll do it. Well, maybe if we get a consensus.
Yeah. If it's a split decision, we'll do a flip of the coin.
Yes.
And decide that. But yeah, no, we will end the part of the page and you get to pick. Here we go. I love this. It starts off so direct. It's like, you know what you are? You know what you are? You are a mountain climber. 3 years ago, you spent the summer at a climbing school in the mountains of Colorado. Real quick, we didn't go through a correspondence course.
Yes.
We didn't phone this crap in, Lee. We went to a school.
Yes, for 3 years.
Hey! Of Colorado. Your instructor said that you had natural skills as a climber. You made rapid progress, not just progress.
Rapid.
And by the end of the summer, you were leading difficult rock and ice climbs. That summer, you became close friends with a boy named Carlos. Those things are not connected. The two of you made a good climbing team. Last year, you and he were chosen to join an international team. The expedition made it to the top of two unclimbed peaks in South America. One night on that expedition, the group was seated around the cook tent at the base camp. The expedition leader, Franz, told stories of, next page, climbing in the Himalayas, the highest mountains in the world. They form a great natural wall between India and China, with Nepal tucked in amid the peaks. Everest, K2, and Annapurna are the best known mountains in the Himalayas. These and many other peaks have been climbed. Still others lie in remote areas where few men have gone. There, said Franz, in high valleys beneath the snowfields lives the Yeti, sometimes called the Abominable Snowman. The Yeti is said to be a huge beast, like a cross between a gorilla and a man, or an Al Garrison, if you're being a jerk friend.
Oh, poor Al. He's not here to defend himself.
I know.
That's why you're doing it.
That's why I'm doing it. Cheap punches. Franz told of how people who have seen the Yeti cannot agree on what it is like. Some say the Yeti, you know, they say that's true. You could show two people a Yeti and they still wouldn't get along. Cannot agree on what it's like. Some say the Yeti is dangerous, ready to carry off the unwary. Others say the Yeti is gentle. The best evidence of the existence of the Yeti is large footprints discovered in the 1950s by a British expedition. Or if you check out the episode of Expedition Unknown with Josh Gates about like five years ago, they had a new discovery. Look at you. Yeah. You know that. Look at you.
Oh, yeah. I watched that. My wife and I love Expedition Unknown. We actually got a picture with Josh Gates. Well, it was about 10 years ago now.
What?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, he was at San Diego Comic-Con and happened to be in the same room. I'm like, there's Josh Gates.
I'm jealous of you now.
Yeah, I'll have to show you the picture of my wife standing next to him.
Dude, really? I get a tattoo of that. I'd be like right here. Boom, me and Josh Gates. No, that's a great episode. And I mean, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's great.
It's
and
really
it made national, job. It made worldwide news. It was kind of a big deal.
Big deal. With that Yeti footprint. Others say the Yeti is gentle. The best evidence of the existence of the Yeti is large footprints discovered in the 1950s by a British expedition. No one has ever photographed a Yeti. No one has ever really seen one of these creatures, but the stories persist. I'm still going, Lee. Is that cool?
That's cool. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and finish it up. Here we go. Okay. You and Carlos decided then and there to find the Yeti. Ambitious.
Yeah.
Cue the
we want to go. Cue the montage music.
No. We're going to find the Yeti. When you returned from South America, the two of you raised money from the International Foundation for Research into Strange Phenomena. Where's that place at? I need some of that money. Your goal, proof positive that Yeti exists. You will find and photograph the Yeti. And that is what brings you to Kathmandu, the capital of Nepal. Your problems, though, have already begun. 2 days ago, Carlos left by helicopter to look over the terrain near Mount Everest. The helicopter returned without him. You know, when you leave with a Carlos, you want to come back with a Carlos.
Come back with a Carlos.
That's the point. Hashtag come back with a Carlos.
Carlos.
Without him. The pilot. Dude.
What?
Good job.
Well, okay. I guess it tells us later, but.
Listen, if you jumped in an Uber coming to my house, like, Eddie, I'm going to come visit you. I'm taking an Uber. I'll be like, cool. I'll see you, buddy. I'll buy you a pizza. And then the Uber shows up and you're not
in it.
I'm like, hey, where's Lee at? And the guy just goes like,
I don't know.
Worst Uber ever.
Good point.
1 star. Without him, the pilot told you that Carlos decided to stay up at the Everest base camp for the night to check out a report that a Yeti had been seen, but he forgot his camera.
Oh, yes.
Carlos! You had a radio transmitter, but you have received no word from him. The weather turned bad. The weather turned bad. And no word from him. It turned bad. Radio communication was interrupted. You have written for an appointment to speak with R.N. Runal, the director of expeditions and mountain research and an authority on the Yeti. You've told him of your plans. You need permits for the expedition and advice and information from Runal. But what about Carlos?
Exactly. What about Carlos?
Hashtag what about Carlos? If you decide to cancel your meeting with Runal and search for Carlos, turn to page 5. If you feel that Carlos is okay, Carlos is on equal footing as you, like no pun intended, for mountain climbing.
Yeah.
And is okay to go ahead with your plan to meet Runal, turn to page 6.
So go find Carlos, or do we go with Runal?
So page 5, you're like, nope. If I don't have Carlos, I ain't got nothing.
Nothing.
I'm finding my homeboy. Or if you're like, Carlos knows how to take care of himself, I'm going without him. Page 6.
Got some comments from Kim. They say that to all the students when you're really good.
You're really
doing good, little Johnny.
Wow, you have a natural talent for this.
Yeah.
You should and go look for
the Franz peaked in high school. I don't believe him.
Never trust anybody who peaked in high school.
You know, they had the K6 or the K2, but they don't have the K12. From Better Off Dead.
Better Off Dead. Which, you know, the advice, the sage advice from, I forget his friend's name, essentially Booger.
Yeah.
What Booger,
I've been going to this high school for 7.5 years. I'm no dummy.
Exactly. Go that way really fast.
Yes.
If something gets in your way, turn.
Turn. Did he learn that at correspondence school?
Exactly. So we have a split.
We have
Carol saying 6, and we have Kim saying, you don't leave Carlo behind. You find that Carlos. Hashtag no Carlos left behind. So now we have to flip a coin.
We need to decide, unless we get a third that comes in and split the difference here.
Being in.
So find Carlos or go do it yourself.
So I would give us about a 30, not 30, maybe another 5-10 second count, and then we'll flip out. We'll flip out the coin.
Yes. We need a cruiser. We need to talk to Al and have him make up a cruiser coin image for us.
Yeah.
Or somebody. I guess it doesn't have to be Al, but. And then we can upload it here and then we can flip it.
Flip it up, smack it, rub it down. Oh, no.
Some Bell Biv DeVoe. You, man, you got lots of them tonight. Some Bell Biv DeVoe.
Listen, the key is you got to get me on a night where I'm incredibly stressed out. And then I got tons of references.
So we got Three Dog Night, Bell Biv DeVoe, some Beyonce. Mm-hmm. What else?
Dragonlance Chronicles. All over the map.
All right, so let's flip. So tails is 5 and heads is 6.
Here we go. I would agree.
Tails is 5 and head is 6. Oh, 5 it is.
5 it is. No Carlos left behind.
We're ditching. Yeah, yeah, we're not going to leave him behind. So, whoa, just the next page. So, all right. So we're searching for Carlos. You telephone Mr. Runnell at the foreign ministry and tell him that you were worried about Carlos and that you want to search for him. Of course, I understand. Please allow me the honor of coming with you. I could be of help. You gladly accept the help of Mr. Runnell. His reputation as a mountaineer is excellent. He is able to arrange for a Royal Nepalese Army helicopter to meet you at the Tribhuvan Airport. 2 hours later, you land at the Everest base camp where Carlos was last seen. His red nylon mountain tent is still there, but the storm has erased all footprints. Ooh. Runnell tells you that in most of the stories about the Yeti, the creatures are well below here. Yet recent reports tell of Yeti up in the glaciers. If you and Runnell search below the base camp in the valley, turn to page 8. If you go above the base camp, turn to page 10. So we go up or down, essentially?
Up or down?
Down.
Well, I'm pointing that way, so I guess I'll go down. She chose down.
Down? Not her.
Too late now. I'm quoting Labyrinth, the movie now, Lee. Look at me. I'm all over the place.
You're all over. You're here, there, yeah. You're everywhere. Get to the chopper.
Get
Carolyn says, get to the chopper.
Carolyn's awesome. bringing the references too. See, that's good.
Predator. Man, we're just counting him. Oh. Kim says up.
So is the chopper, are they both agreeing? Or are they both disagreeing?
Boy, we're bad. You land at Everest Base. She must just be referring to the Army helicopter.
Oh, they both say up. They both are saying up.
Okay.
So we're good to go.
Sorry, ladies. We're a little dense.
We're confused here.
Okay. So we're going to page 10.
All right. Is that my page then?
That would be you. Yep.
Here we go. Page 10. Above the base camp are the dangerous Seracs. These huge blocks of ice are always moving, and people threading their way through this maze of ice are in constant danger. What kind of danger?
Constant.
It never stops. No. Runnell leads the way. You both have attached the climbing spikes called crampons. Sorry.
What? Crampons? That's from our concussion. Not...
Exactly. His eyes going one way. He's like, I think these are called crampons.
Crampons.
Like, is that your correspondent? Oh, wow. How much was this correspondence? Was this correspondence course, was its form on the back of a Spider-Man comic book?
With a crayon?
Crampons. They probably are called crampons and we're just morons.
Probably, anyway, yeah.
It's a funny word.
Yes, I've never heard it.
The climbing called crampons to your boots and are attached to each other by a slender nylon rope. Watch out! Jump! A block of ice quivers and tumbles to the side, sending clouds of snow and ice crystals in the air. Runal had seen it just in time. You move more slowly now, careful not to get near these treacherous Seracs. Then, going around a Serac as large as a two-story house, you find him. Carlos is sitting in the sun, fidgeting with his camera. Hey, what are you guys doing here? That's what we want to know. You scared us to death with your disappearing act. What's up? Carlos stupidly says, the sky, and then puts the camera away. Sorry. And after you introduce him to Runal, explains that he found tracks, Yeti tracks, perhaps, and followed them. He tried to radio, but the weather blocked it. The tracks faded, and he couldn't find his way back to the camp. He had been sitting and waiting. Runal examines one track protected from drifting snow and explains that they are blue bear tracks and not Yeti tracks. Blue bear?
That's okay. Is that a real thing?
I may look that up, friends and watchers and viewers. So disappointed, you go back to the copter. You go back to the chopper!
Back to the chopper.
And return to Kathmandu. We'll go to page 12. The next day, you go to the shop of Sirdar, Podang Sorba, a well-known Sherpa guide. Carlos stays with Runal, getting the permits. You enter the store, and there, behind a counter stacked with dried food and plastic bags, tanks of gas for mountain stoves, and wool hats, is Sirdar Sorba. You introduce yourself, and immediately you like this man. He is warm and friendly, and he has been with the Japanese expedition to Pumari and a French Everest attempt. Maybe you should ask him to join you as you search for the Yeti.
All right. Adding more people.
If you ask Sirdar to come along in your expedition, turn to page 22. If you wait and decide to talk it over with Carlos, turn to page 21.
Here's a crampon, Eddie.
Well, now we're just dumb. We're the dummies laughing. So
that's a crampon.
Too busy looking up crampons.
Yeah, that's a careless.
We're 12 years old, Lee Searcy. Look at us.
I guess. And then there is left. I guess there is a Tibetan blue bear. There is a Tibetan blue bear for realsies.
All right. Show me a picture of that Tibetan blue bear.
Yeah, let me find it here.
While our viewers discuss amongst themselves whether we should go and just say, hey, Sirdar, get on the bus. Or do we talk to Carlos and say, hey, dog, I know you got lost in the freaking snow, but we might want to add this guy to our team. Those bears, I'm color challenged, but they look
blue bear.
They don't look brown or black to me. So,
yeah. Yeah. Huh.
Look at that Tibetan blue bear.
Tibetan blue bear and crampons. Now you know. The more you know, the more you grow.
New stuff all the time. I have to give Carol props on this one. Concussed, not confused. Yeah. That's a good one.
Oh, man.
All right. So do we just say, hey, man, Sirdar, get on the wagon train to find Yeti? Or do we just do we talk to Carlos first? Comments, let us
know. Let us know.
In the meantime, be sure to tune into a Covert Nerd podcast in 2 weeks, barring any weird life events, for our continued Himalayan expedition adventures.
Yes, let's do it. Some more Tibetan fun. So Carolyn says, have the chat with Carlos.
So Carolyn's saying, don't make a decision without consulting your team. What kind of monster, what kind of narcissist are you?
Yes, you always talk to Carlos. Consult your Carlos.
Consult Carlos.
Consult your Carlos. Hashtag consult Carlos.
Hello, I am Carlos.
Oh, we got another split. Kim says.
Oh, we have a split. Let him join. Kim's like, trust your gut, you nut. Let him join.
Well, I guess we'll flip the cruiser coin.
Flip the coin. So I say we chat with Carlos. Tails, we just say get on the bus.
Get Sirdar. Okay, so Tails is Sirdar. Heads chat with Carlos. Tails. We've got Tails every time.
We got Tails two times. Yeah, this isn't a flip. It's a jip.
So we talk with Carlos.
Talk with Carlos. Here we go.
Hashtag consult your Carlos.
I had to borrow it again. I've had this book too long.
Oh. All right. You think Carlos should have a chance to meet Sirdar. You occupy yourself with buying the high altitude tents, ice axes, crampons, ropes, woo! The rock spike called pitons, and ice screws. Wow, we're set. While looking through the rack of downfilled parkas used on previous mountain expeditions, you come across one that attracts your attention. It's a purple parka, medium-sized, but what is so interesting about it is that one of the pockets bulges. You give a quick look around the shop to make sure no one's watching. You undo the zipper. It feels like there's a rock in the pocket. You take it out and unwrap the heavy brown paper that covers it. There in your hands is a fragment of a skull. Ooh. It's yellowed with age. Could this be a Yeti skull? Yikes. It is spooky to hold the thing. You examine a piece of paper that is stuffed inside the skull. It is the sort of rice paper used for tracings and for artwork. It's a map, and it shows a road leading from Kathmandu to the town of Nargarkot. The word treasure appears over an X near an abandoned temple of the Hindu god Shiva. Huh. Carolyn, hashtag strange bulgy pockets. Oh, wow. With a skull in it. That's hilarious. Okay, so page 34. You know that this is too exciting for you to wait for Carlos. You must find out. Whoops.
Poor Carlos.
You must find out more about it immediately. You walk over to the counter and ask Sirdar where the parka came from. Sirdar looks up in surprise. There is fear in his eyes when he sees you holding up the purple parka. Oh, that's not for sale. That's a mistake to have it here. Please give it to me. Give it to me. You look in the parka, and there near the collar is Sirdar's name stenciled in black ink. You look up and see Sirdar moving toward you with an ice axe in his hand. Oh. He raises the ice axe as though to strike. You throw the parka at him. It is just enough to startle him for a second. You run for the door, but standing there are two tough-looking men. They are Westerners. One has a beard and the other is clean-shaven, but his hair hangs down to his shoulders. You are just about cornered. You jump to the right, duck to the left, and make for the rack of ice axes at the back of the shop. Turn to page 19.
When you duck to the left and duck to the right and then make for the rack of parkas, that's called the electric snide, just so you know.
Snide is back.
When you duck to the left and you duck to the right.
Why are you leaving my boy Carlos behind?
I'll teach you the electric snide.
All right.
That's you, though. Weak.
That's me. Let's see. Page 19. Coming at you with an ice pick, dude. That's harsh.
Like, that is not, like, there's no gray area there, right?
Yeah, yeah. And why would you leave the skull just in the pocket? I mean, I don't get it.
Are we still friends?
Yes. Do I call you?
I don't know. What does this mean?
Well, at least we didn't get a concussion. You know?
That's me dating people, Lee. People pull up a pickaxe at me, and I'm like, what does this mean?
Does this mean we're not together anymore? I don't know.
I don't get this.
All right. You're quick, but not quick enough. Sirdar drops the axe and pulls both your arms behind your back. The two men who were at the doorway are now inside the store. One of them shuts the door and bolts it. The click of the bolt, locking you in and help out, is very ominous.
Okay. And any help, I think, out.
Oh.
It's phrased weird. I'm with
you. Okay, that is weird. Okay.
I know what they're trying to say, but they're not saying it well.
Anyway. Yeah. The three men surround you. Sirdar says, "Foolish one, now you have gone too far. Why are you here? What do you want?" The man with the beard fondles a small, ugly-looking automatic pistol. "I meant you no harm. I just want to see what was inside the pocket." "Well, there's no way out.
We need both of you for our plan. You will send a message to your friend telling him you found an important clue. Get him to come here. If you don't, we'll kill you on the spot. If you do as we say, we'll maybe let you live. Well, we'll have to see. We've been following you guys. We thought we would use you to get this stuff out of the country. He points at the package wrapped in brown paper. It's probably hashish, you think? What an awful position to be in. What do you do now? If you say you'll write the note to Carlos, turn to page 47. If you refuse, turn to page 48. So, do we write the note to Carlos or do we refuse? Basically, do we throw Carlos under the bus or do we try something else?
Right.
Poor Carlos. We ditch him. Now we might have to put him in harm's way. I mean,
we're a bad friend in this story, is all I can get.
We're not very good. So, yeah, viewers.
And there's a pot reference in this book, by the way.
I guess.
Calling out the hashish. I think it's hashish. Ditch weed, as the kids say.
Yes. So, what do we do, viewers? Do we write the note to Carlos or do we refuse?
Do we cement our. Oh, kitty. Hold on. Let the cat out of the room. Get out, kitty. Do we cement our ticket to hell and throw our friend Carlos under the bus? I love Carolyn.
Look at Carolyn. Throw Carlos under the bus. You aren't fast enough.
Hey, Carlos, what's up there? Huh?
What? Carlos for the win.
Oh, wait. We have a split again, don't we? No, wait, that's the same thing.
No, it's both. Yeah, throw Carlos under the bus. So they're both saying,
hey, Carlos, can you co-sign this for me real quick? Anything for you, chum.
Anything for you. Everybody has three mortgages nowadays.
Loser.
Ghostbuster reference.
Anyone? Yes. All right.
All right. So Jeez. 47.
47 it is. This is my go now, right?
Yes.
All right, here we go. 47.
We're throwing Carlos under the bus. Poor Carlos. We're not fast enough, like Carolyn says. That's
yeah, exactly. It's like what I lack in speed, I make up in betraying my friends.
Yes. Hashtag no friend left behind.
All right. That's funny. I'll get Carlos here. I'm not sure where he is, though, because he's prone to wandering off and getting lost.
Yes.
The muzzle of the automatic wavers points at you. And then the man holding the gun lowers it and slips it into his pocket. For the time being, it looks as though the danger is over. Then they shoot you dead. How can you get out of luring Carlos into this trap? You can't. You already mentioned his name.
Maybe we must have skipped that day in our correspondence course.
Exactly. How do I betray a friend and not go to hell? Oh, well, I don't know. Then you remember a special signal you used when climbing with ropes. Three sharp tugs on the rope meant trouble. Okay, give me a pen and paper. Give me pen and paper. Once again, the writing is kind of weird here.
Yeah.
They hand you these things and you begin to write. Hey, this pen doesn't work. Look, you quickly scratch three lines on the paper with the pen. Of course it works. And you say, well, I guess it's working now. You hope that the three marks are enough to warn Carlos. You need time to plan your escape. The bearded man speaks in a German accent. Tell us how you are here and what you want to know about the map.
Yes.
Tell us now what you know about the map. If you make up a fantastic story. A fantastic story.
Oh, not just a story. A fantastic story.
Turn to page 63. If you insist, you know nothing. Look at me. I'm an idiot.
I take correspondence courses. What do I know?
I take a correspondence course on how to take a correspondence
course.
If you That's insist, awesome. You know nothing, turn to page 64. So fantastical story. 63. If you're like, I'm a dummy. 64.
Yes.
Where are we
at? You know who didn't take a correspondence course?
Who?
Al and Ben at Omug Comics because they have their new comic out.
They do.
Yes.
Lenny Vernon, Badass Trucker, number 9, which is part 1 of the Culty Saga. Check that out. I've read it. Have you read it yet, Lee Searcy?
I haven't read it yet. No, I need to get it still.
Prepare for your understanding of time, space, and reality to be destroyed. It is probably one of their best issues yet.
Ooh, good. I can't wait.
I'm going to say it. Best issue yet.
Okay. Kim says, go to page 64. So basically, pretend like you know nothing.
That Carolyn is reading along with us.
Really? Awesome.
Extra star cruiser coins to Carolyn Daly tonight.
Carolyn, you get 1,000 cruiser coins.
Man, if I didn't have a crush on Carolyn before, now I do even more.
Page 64, Carolyn says. So we got two for 64.
And like we said, we got a hashtag no friend left behind. There we go.
Yes.
So this is on you now, right? This is your read.
Uh-oh. This doesn't look good.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. All right. I know nothing. Nothing. I say nothing twice just to reemphasize it. The bearded one scowls and says, was it the bearded one, the German one?
Yeah.
Yes.
So say it like a German.
Okay, I'll say it in German. That's what they all say. Let's end it right here. That expedition for the Yeti is phony. They're all from Interpol. Interpol? What?
What?
Okay. Hey, I'll make a deal.
European police.
You're right. That is. You're right. Yep. Interpol.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll make a deal. You don't have the faintest idea what kind of a deal, air quote, you could offer, but you need to stall for time. Then to your immense surprise, Sirdar opens the back door in troop 6 men. They are all holding weapons. Gentlemen, you're under arrest. He flashes a badge and smiles at you. Sorry, my friend, you just came here at the wrong time. I had to attack you to keep these men from becoming suspicious. The map you found will lead us to their hidden supplies. Good luck on your expedition. Okay.
And
we got, we were part of a Interpol investigation.
That's hilarious. We literally helped the European police capture a international crime ring.
That's awesome. As we were looking for the Yeti.
As a German was loading his pistol, ready to just end us right there.
That's awesome.
So
Interpol is the police. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We agree and the story ends.
Yes. That's exactly. Awesome.
And done.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Oh man. See, this is the fun of Choose Your Own Adventure. I mean, the thing is, it can end quick. Before you even know it, you're like, oh, I think things took a turn. You know?
Yes, you're being attacked by a guy with an ice pick, and then you interrupt a police investigation of an international drug ring or smuggling ring or whatever they are. I guess it doesn't say.
I love about that exchange too was that we immediately liked that guy. We're like, I like this guy. And then two pages later, he's like this with a knife. And you're like, ah!
I know. It's like, oh, Sidar's going to be our next Carlos. And then he attacks us with an axe.
Nope. Your judgment of character in this story is broken.
Yes. Yes. We spent 3 years with Carlos, but we ditch him anyway.
Much like our understanding of what crampons were, your judgment doesn't exist. Your good judgment doesn't exist.
So now tomorrow, Eddie, when you're with friends, you have to somehow bring the word crampons up.
That's going to be a flex, isn't it? I'm going to be in a conversation. Yes. So, guys, you ever thought about climbing on ice?
I got just the thing. Crampons.
Crampons. Anyone viewing who can work the word crampon into a logistical, sensible, statement in the comments, I will send $3 to via PayPal.
No, even better. 3,000 cruiser coins.
Cruiser coins.
Yes.
What I'll do is I'll buy you a copy of Lenny Vernon number 9.
Ooh. Yes.
And give it to you. Signed by Al Garrison and Ben Crane of Omug Comics.
Yes. Dealing with Interpol isn't usually nice. Oh, Kim might have some experience with Interpol.
Kim's speaking from experience.
Yeah. You don't mess with Interpol.
Well, Well, here's the thing, though. Kim fought Interpol, and Kim won. So there's that. So
Kim beat Interpol. Hashtag Kim won.
My money's always on Kim.
Yes, always. Because you took a correspondence course and learned that you always bet on Kim.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Kim and Carolyn, by the way, kept speaking of kick-assery. Anyway.
That's awesome that Carolyn had this one. That's great.
That's so awesome.
If you have these, yeah, definitely join along. But, hey, I think we're going to call this one done. And hopefully in 2 weeks, we'll head back to Tibet again.
I can't wait to go back to Tibet again. The great John Denver song, Sweet Tibet.
Sweet Tibet.
like West Virginia. good old Carolyn and I, fun fact, went to high school together. And she also now lives in Colorado. So she should, if anyone here knows, should know what those are called. It should have been Carolyn. But we're not going to flex on her from that one because she's pretty flipping awesome. So there's that.
Not shoe teeth. That's funny.
Hey, you know what? Teeth for your shoes. What are you going to do?
All right.
Instead of shoes for your teeth. Those are useless.
Yes. Oh, there's Kim showing us some love. All right.
Speaking of love, be sure to like, comment, share. If you can, share this post to your page if you thought you had a fun time, and let people know that every 2 weeks, Lee and I read a Choose Your Own Adventure book, and you can follow along for all sorts of fun.
Yeah.
And comment away. And until
have
next
fun.
Time.
Talk about crampons. I mean, where else on a live event are you going to learn about crampons?
We talked about Three Dog Night. We talked about Dragonlance Chronicles. Talked about crampons.
Correspondence schools.
Correspondence courses. Concussions.
Concussions.
Blue bear.
Oh, and the Tibetan blue bear. Yes.
I mean, look, this is not only a show of entertainment and escapism, it's also educational.
That's right.
You walked away a little bit better tonight than you came in the door.
Exactly.
You're welcome.
Cool. All right, Eddie, it's been fun. Everybody that's listening, watching, I love it. It's good. Let's do it again.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. See you later.
Good night.
These Choose Your Own Adventure live events are awesome. I love them. They're fun. I hope you enjoy them as much as Eddie and I enjoy putting them on for you. Go to covertnerd.net for previous episodes and more information about this episode. You can also find the show notes in the app that you're using, and you could subscribe on pretty much any app. And again, thank you for listening. It means a lot to me. And until next time, nerd it up. Today, we are going to be Tibetan bound. So we're heading for the hills.
I'm dressed wrong for this journey.
I know.
Or am I dressed right? Look at this.
You need to. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Look at this badass tank top. Courtesy of curbsideclothing.com. You like some sweet art and stuff? Check out Curbside Clothing for your like moon. Your wolves howling at the moon. There's a wolf at the bottom.
Enter promo code Eddie.
Yep, there you go. Promo code Eddie to get you $10 more per purchase.
Yeah, we're going to charge you more.
It's more expensive. Awesome.
Gather your yak skin. We're going to get a parka, get a Sherpa, and we're going to head for the mountains.
Practice your Tibetan throat singing.
Yes.
You ever heard
get
that?
One of those bells. Ooh, one of those bells. Yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, is that a didgeridoo from Australia?
So there's didgeridoo, but there's also Tibetan throat singing, which is like a legit like style. It's like they get this like guttural. We've all done it. Like you're either super tired or super early and you're just like, where's the coffee? You know, it's like, you know. I'd be remiss,
Kim,
if I didn't mention Starlight Studios. What are you doing with a wolf howling at the moon? Check out Starlight Studios too. Maybe they're cooler than curbside.
Do you have a promo code for Kim too?
The promo code for Starlight Studios is Kim is awesome. That's a long promo. There you go.
And you get 10% off. Or wait, no, you play 10%
more. 10%
more. That's how all the promo codes for Eddie work. You pay more.
You end up paying more. No, I will say this. If you do Starlight Studios, you know you're doing a local, you're supporting a local artist. And she makes some really cool stuff, man. Those cups, I got to dig my cup out of storage, but I'll show you guys.
She might be able to make a yak cup for today, since we're going to be in the mountains.
You know, one of my cups she made me is a Bluetooth speaker cup.
Oh, nice.
Lee, it's a cup that has a Bluetooth speaker in it.
In it.
So
how do they do that?
I tell you what, man, we are in the future. We don't have a COVID-19 vaccine yet, but you can play Tibetan throat singing through your custom mug from Starlight Studios.
Studios, exactly.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Like that.
Fossler code, 20% off.
Ooh, there, put in the code.
It's Fossler. Legal now.
There she said it's Starlight legal. Studios, 20% off. That'd be a fun code.
Well, like I said,